Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
We've actually both done sex magic about, like, envisioning a brighter future I have seen, like, as soon as I'm coming, and something bad happening to all the dark, negative energy in the White House.
Oh, good,
and
good.
It's really cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Welcome to The Margaret Cho. This is Margaret Cho. Today, we have a great podcast with the hosts of the podcast Basic Witches, my friends Rachel LaForest and Leah Knauer. They are comedians. They are witches. They are really cool, really fun, and manifesting for peace. So here they are, the Basic Witches themselves, Rachel and Leah. The last time we spoke, it was very different, you know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we were just dealing with kind of like the disruption of the pandemic. And now we have a very different kind of very important disruption
of society.
So it's good. So how are you feeling now? How are your feelings?
Well, it's so crazy because on the podcast, Basic Witches, we talk with many astrologers and they've all said, like, for the past year that 2020 was going to be a huge year
eruption
of like the age of Aquarius and things changing and shifts in society. And it's fucking happening. Mm-hmm. And it's like cool to see because we as witches knew this was coming, but it's like, it's wild because it's like, be careful what you wish for, you know? We're in such like a...
Well, I feel like the warnings from astrologists were like, they were like, yeah, because you know how everyone was so hopeful for 2020? Mm-hmm. The astrologists were always like, yeah, it's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's going to be good, but it's going to be a lot of work internally. And so like, personally, I am on this journey of... like, let the fucking mold in the house get found out because I want to know it's in there and I want...
Let the fleas roam.
Yeah.
But bring the problems to the surface because I want to deal with it. I can't know that there's something there and not deal with it. So it feels good that society is being more active for Black Lives Matter because it's something we've known is there and... Now it's at the surface.
And what's really cool about that is a lot of truths are coming to light. Whether it's related to Black Lives Matter or not, I think a lot of people are like speaking their truth because they're seeing all of these things burn down. Like I've been having very uncomfortable conversations with my family. I know Rachel has too. So it's like a lot of things are coming to surface and I think it's good because we can rebuild. And your dog is so cute.
So cute.
I know. She's so mad at me because I got up late this morning. So she has a lot of like things to say about it. She's like, disrupted.
So she's like, eating your hand.
She's like really mad. She's like really, really so mad at me. But it's just like, it's like very uncomfortable with like people who have to have their... old ideas really burnt down, you know,
and they're clinging so hard to it
because they have to change. And but it's really I think it's really good.
I agree.
And it's really but it is scary for people who don't want to change. It's like those old patterns are dying. And but I'm really glad for it too. Like I think that it's time.
Oh yeah, it's
beyond time.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm having big things every single day, like, and the world is, it's like exponential, like every day or a couple days is something even bigger. And yesterday was huge for me because my attacker pled guilty to felony sexual assault, which he committed on me.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's like, and I also came out to my family as queer on the same day.
Wow, wow.
Yesterday.
Wow.
So when I said I'm on a mission, I'm like, I'm truth-telling, I'm fucking having the conversations.
That's great.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I found out, you know, I get to give a victim statement next month at the sentencing. And I'm like, whoa. Ooh, how much time do I get?
Yeah.
So much to say. And it's like even before these current times of everyone, you know, activating for Black Lives Matter, my attacker is Hispanic and homeless. He's a poor man of color. And I knew that from day one, that this is going to be fucked up and this is not going to be justice. No matter what happens, I'm going to feel dissatisfied. And that is how I feel. Mm-hmm. There's mental health stuff going on for him, I have to assume, based on what he did. So that's not going to be treated by prison time. And that's something I want to talk about. And like coming out as queer is something I never thought I would really even need to do, because I'm straight passing and I don't know. I just thought, oh, I'll just be living my life and I don't have to like make this statement.
And you're in a relationship
with
a guy.
And I'm in a relationship with a guy right now. Mm-hmm. And women too, actually. We both are together with women as well. Mm. But then I realized I have to, because it's absolutely important that people like me who are straight passing, who have white privilege, speak up and say, look, me too. I'm just like these people, and this is my community too.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's good. That's really good.
It is good. Yeah.
That's good. I think it's really important to say your truth and, you know, to express visibility, especially when we don't necessarily fit into sort of that sort of the queer mold, you know, like I think when we think of gay or lesbian, we think of like you know, whatever, it's just like we think of gay men, we think of lesbians. When we're queer, like for myself being bisexual, it's always been something of like a struggle to even explain my role within gay society, you know. So it's always like this long conversation of like, well, it's like this. And then people are like, yeah, but are you really gay, or are you just straight and you're just like trying to pretend that you're it's like, well, no, but it's, are you just gay and trying to pretend that you're straight, or like all this stuff of like, you know, it's
black and whiteness.
Yeah,
semantics.
It's yeah,
stuff of
yeah,
labels.
And it's also invisibility, like straight invisibility, gay invisibility, queer invisibility, bi visibility, whatever. It's like this thing of like you're trying to somehow displace this idea of like we don't really exist because we don't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the wrong thing to do. That what's best is to really clearly sort of set out a place for ourselves at the table and say, we actually belong here.
Mm-hmm. When and how did you come out, Margaret?
Well, it was a period of time, because I was like, I think what I identified as a lesbian first. Then I was like, oh no, I'm straight. And then I was really confused for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, I think that I guess I'm just bisexual. Not just bisexual, but I think that there's more to the story than I realized. And that it's much more complicated than I had understood. And that, you know, you do definitely go through phases in your life where you maybe more identify one way than another. And that there's also even in my story, there are some asexual phases too, that weren't as lengthy or like aromantic. I've never really gone through like an aromantic phase, because I've always sort of been a romantic, but never, but sometimes asexual. So it's interesting. Mm. But definitely like you go through dips and phases, and I think it's kind of hormonal, and I think it's kind of it's definitely different. But I'm excited for you that you're able to like, you know, think like understand so young, you know.
Oh, thanks.
That's good.
Yeah, I think the more, like you said, someone like me who doesn't necessarily come across as the queer normal or like in gay, straight, whatever, gay, bi, whatever, it's important, I think, for people like me to stand up and say it so that it does become normal, because fuck, we're all on the spectrum. It's so not black and white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything is gray. And I deal with that with my sexual assault as well. Because I wasn't raped, I was assaulted. There is a feeling of black and whiteness there. Like, you're raped or you're not. You're raped or you're fine. Mm-hmm. Is something I've come up against in people not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just to say that every facet is a spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Life is complex.
Yes. Yeah, there's nothing easy about it. And there's nothing... it's all very... very difficult, but I'm glad that you're feeling a sense of justice about it and feeling a sense of truth about it, which is really, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really important. That's good. How do you feel about like comedy though? Like, I miss it. Don't you miss it?
Yeah.
So much.
Are you doing Zoom shows? Are you both doing?
We've been doing like private full moon circles that are like kind of funny but healing.
Yeah.
And we do Blazin' with Basic Witches on our Instagram Live, which actually we would love to have you on.
I would
it
love that.
If you ever do it.
I would love that. Would it? But we like. Yeah. So
that's like a live show. It's kind of like what we used to do at the Comedy Store, where we, you know, we riff, we bring on a guest. It's called Blazin' because we wear blazers and smoke weed. But we talk about all of this stuff and joke as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that we always feel really good after that. We are getting like one night a week of live comedy.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
Do you turn on do you have like, can you hear the audience or do you mute everyone?
No, it's kind of weird what they write. Yeah.
It's hard because it's like it's almost like you can't trust them to like behave necessarily, but then you want to hear the feedback.
Right.
Which is the best part of doing comedy.
Yeah, because it's like you want to hear what they're doing, but then also sometimes people are cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, or they're like watching TV at the same time, or they're like doing something online, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, it's such weird, or they're taking a bath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the weirdest thing, or they're on the phone, and you're like, what the fuck are you? But they're also listening and laughing, and so it's like, it's hard to know like what's happening on the other side.
Yeah.
Kind of heartbreaking too.
It is heartbreaking. Uh-huh. It's hard not to have the laughs. We're lucky we're like a duo in those situations because we'll crack up.
Yeah.
But like, and then give it that little bit of a delay to let the comments that are laughing come in.
Yeah.
But it's disjointed.
Yeah, it's very strange. So that's what that's what I miss. I miss that sort of electric sound of people. There's a rhythm to it that I kind of have been getting into, and I appreciate a Zoom show, but it's weird. It's like, you know, I feel like I'm missing out. I mean, I don't know.
It's like we're all living in that Ian Abramson show, The 7 Minutes in Hell.
I don't know that one.
It's like you do stand up without an audience, and like the audience is laughing in a different room, but you can't hear them.
Oh,
so it's,
God.
Like, it's like that, but we're all doing that. Yeah, it's really funny. You should watch it.
That's funny.
All of this quarantine has been a social experiment. Yeah. Like those shows, like The Circle, those like
Love
new Netflix
blind.
Reality shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, it's kind of like, I've never seen it, but there's a show that's like, where you do comedy, or I've never done it, but you do comedy where it's like, it's completely dark, and it's like in the dark, and the audience is in the dark, and then you do comedy in the dark. I'm like
Spider-Man Into the Dark.
Yeah, that seems really weird. That seems dangerous.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, that seems scary. Yeah, now it would be dangerous. Like it seems like you want to see something. I don't know. I talked to Steve Byrne over the weekend, and he was actually at the Miami Improv, and I could hear he was doing a show. They were doing a show at half capacity, and they had the audience socially distanced, like half of the audience was there, and everybody was like separated, and the comic was on stage, and they were really doing very well. I could hear in the background, and it was like, oh my God, I was like, I could feel the energy of it. Like, I really missed it. And I was like, oh God, like I was like really sort of chomping at the bit, like, I really missed
like
it.
Like withdrawal.
Yeah.
Drooling.
Yeah, it was like withdrawal. Like I was like, it was like talking to somebody on the phone that was high. And you hadn't been
like,
high.
What's it like?
Forever. Like, yeah. Ooh, you know, it was that feeling. It was such a weird sensation.
Did you see anything?
Yeah, it was like, ooh, like, ooh. It was so weird. Yeah.
Well, are you thinking about trying?
Most of my shows are going to be I moved everything to 2021. I know that I have some scheduled maybe September or something, but I feel like it's going to get moved. I don't know. Are you, do you have anything scheduled?
No, and nothing coming back on the books. Like we were both in shows or things that are just off the books.
And I don't want to. Like, thinking about people going to those shows, I'm like, I would have anxiety going to that.
It feels in my gut like we are not coming out of quarantine for a while. And I just feel like we should talk about that. Like, we shouldn't... Have you seen Aniara, this Swedish space movie?
No.
It's good. Yeah. Okay, I recommend it. It's I think it's free on Hulu. Mm-hmm. It's called Aniara, and it's in Swedish, so it's subtitles, and it's about this spaceship that gets off course. And I watched it before the virus, and it just feels so fitting. But without spoiling it, it's kind of about the release of information to not freak people out, like slowly releasing information so people can deal.
Like Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. And it feels like we're in that. I've felt that since the beginning. Like they said 2 weeks at the beginning, and I was like standing in this white-collar bread line of Trader Joe's, like this is not going to be 2 weeks. You know,
and since things, quote, opened up in the past few days, I've seen so many posts on Instagram of like friends together not wearing masks and just like having birthday parties. And it feels like because our leadership is not taking it seriously and the news isn't taking it seriously.
Yes, you guys.
People aren't taking it seriously. And I am scared for them and for myself because them going out puts me at risk by like the spread, you know?
And... So I found mold in the house within my extended family. I found out there's Trump supporters in my extended family that I didn't know about. And I started to have phone calls with them. I had an hour and a half phone call with one of them. And it was such a difficult conversation. And I was trying to explain that our president's tweets are not a victimless crime.
Right.
This person thought it doesn't matter. Who cares about a tweet? Only laws matter. And I wish you two could have been there to help me. Because I was like trying to explain that. No, people listen to a leader. Some people listen to this leader's tweets.
They do.
And that's with the reopening.
Yeah. Yeah. They believe him. They believe him about like that crazy drug that he's like he's like taking. He's just like. He's just started taking.
And I just read the FDA is not going to be releasing that to pharmacies now.
Yeah, because he just starts taking it. Like, it's like, and I know that they were probably just giving him a sugar pill because he's just like taking it. Like, why
would you
just
start taking it?
As a precaution? Like, just crazy? Like, people believe it because they just believe
that
the office.
Maybe he thought that water he was drinking was bleach.
Yeah. It's insane. But people will blindly follow because that's what traditionally people have done for centuries. Mm-hmm. Is they follow the highest office.
The other challenge is people who already voted for him in 2016, like the family member I've been talking to, they don't want to admit that they caused this in any way.
Right.
It's so hard for people to admit that they did something wrong.
Denial and ignorance is so strong.
And that, yeah, it's like throwing good money after bad. You don't want to admit that you did something wrong, but, you know, by compounding your mistakes. So you're just going to just continue to do it because you think that that's going to solve it somehow. It's so sickening. And I just hope that people are able, I think that people now will finally sort of see that they can't do it anymore. I hope.
I hope so. And there is hope of that, because I've been an activist for women for years, and I have good news. My parents are registered Democrats for the first time in their lives.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And the Democratic Party is so far from perfect. The whole thing is quite fucked. Mm-hmm. And I do recognize that money runs all of it, but at least they, as religious people who have been very, very Christian, pro-life their whole lives, they're willing to make the jump. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to, even candidates who are pro-choice, which is one big thing they don't agree with, like, they're still willing to support this side because they're seeing it so clearly, because it's so prevalent. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, daughters like me who have been speaking up for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that feels really good. That's one really satisfying thing.
Yeah, that's really, really lately. Good. That's really, really good.
And that we're openly talking about it, that I'm making us say who we're voting for. I think that that should not be a secret anymore. Mm, you know how it used to be like, oh, there's a window in the booth and it's my privacy who I vote for. I just think it should all be open now.
Well, I think social media totally helped that. Like, yeah. Everyone has a voice now.
It's such an open secret. Like, it's like such a gross thing. People should know.
When it's so important, like now where we're on the edge of fascism, if not in it, it's like we have to fucking talk about this because we didn't talk about it enough last time. And look where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so terrifying. I mean, I just don't see how anybody could possibly. I can't see how anybody could possibly vote for Donald Trump now. I mean, it's just how he's handled the pandemic, how he's handled any of the police brutality, any of this sort of like racial politics stuff. I can't imagine. I mean, already before any of this, it was terrible. Mm-hmm. And now this is just how he anybody
remember when he's already been impeached multiple times
already before this remember he was that? Impeached multiple times. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I recently got my dad to admit that maybe he's not fit to be a leader. And it was insane. It was insane that it's like you're still only saying maybe and we're here. Like, what? I grew up in Pennsylvania, suburban, rural Republican.
Well, yeah, some people are just, I think, unfortunately, a lot of people are such misogynists that they just couldn't imagine Hillary Clinton in the role of president. And that is its own problem. I mean, it's like in comics who are like, oh, well, you know, he really helps out, like, people in my family. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you know,
it's so hard to argue with that logic because that's the same logic I'm getting on these phone calls. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so hard. I'm trying to say my sister that you're married to, her life is in danger her rights are in danger as a woman with this type of leadership that's outwardly repealing trans rights, etc.
Mm-hmm. On the day of the Pulse shooting too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the logic I hear back is point to a law that's directly explicitly endangering Black people. And I'm like, fine. So I am putting together an evidence packet for him.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to. I mean, it's just like, you know, to prove a point, but I mean, it's just very, it's very sick and it's very sad. And it's just really, I mean, he's not a politician. He's a reality TV show star. He's like a very, yep. I mean, and not even really that. He's kind of, I don't really know what he is. He's kind of a
narcissist. He's sort of a just like a name, like
yeah,
a personality, yeah.
He's kind of a, I don't even know what... He's not even really a businessman, exactly.
He's a demon.
I was going to say, wait, is he a demon?
Maybe he's like... Yeah. There used to be a... You know the Omen franchise? The Omen 3 was the one where the Omen became president.
I need to watch
that. Yeah, the Omen 3 is like an unpopular one, but it was a good one because he became... I think he becomes president, but I love the Omen franchise. I think it's a good one.
I've heard you talk about it.
The Omen franchise is very good. Also, the Exorcist franchise is excellent. Exorcist 3 is excellent. Ah. People forget about that
one. Oh, I've only ever watched one.
Yeah.
I need to go on.
They're very different. They're all very different, but the Exorcist 3 is very, very good. But they're all very good. But I think it's just, I don't know exactly what Donald Trump is. He's not really an entertainer, because if he was an entertainer, he would be... better at it.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be more entertaining. Like, you think he would be better politician.
Because we're not entertained.
No,
we're
it's not entertaining. He's just not very good at it. I mean... Yeah.
Well, he is a liar, which is...
Yeah, but if he was an entertainer, he would be better at lying. He would be a better liar. I mean, he would be just... I think he would be better at like sort of covering his tracks, or better at lying, or better at
presenting.
Yeah.
He'd be better at presenting.
I recently found out that he's a Gemini, and I'm a Gemini, and it makes us look really bad. But then Rachel and I figured out that because he's not a real person, he actually doesn't belong in the zodiac.
Yeah, I mean, I think. I don't think he's a real person. He might sort of be like a weird, like
a hologram.
Don't you feel like if he like split open and a little alien came out like Men in Black, no one would be surprised.
Yeah.
Like just, I have ideas like for a sex strike is sort of one solution I'm thinking.
Ooh.
If we could get, let me know what you think about this, because I value your opinion, Margaret, and you have a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience with activism. I think if we could get the 1% of white women who are, sorry, in the 1%, these rich white women who are largely married to these 1%er white men that are controlling things with their money, to go on a sex strike and demand the power come into their hands, like, would be a possible solution. Like to wake up the white women sitting and sleeping on this power.
That's a good idea. I mean, I think that's like a sex strike is always a positive. I think it really has a huge effect.
Like a statement. It's a huge statement.
Yeah.
From all women.
Definitely.
Yeah, partners.
But it's hard to get it, because it's like,
they're entrenched.
It's such, you know, because they're part of the problem too. It's like,
they're benefiting.
Because usually it's like, they're complicit in it, you know? So it's usually something that, you know, it's hard. It's one thing, but it's definitely something that would be, I think that's when you can harness the power of the pussy, it's very effective.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there, who was it? Was it Gandhi or somebody said Western women will save the world?
I agree.
Somebody said that. Somebody prophetized that.
I agree.
And I'm like, maybe it's right now.
Maybe I think that's true.
Right the fuck now. Well, I want it to be.
I think it is. It's like if you can harness pussy power for anything. I really loved, I don't know if we talked about this, but it was where there was like a thing where all of these witches in New York cast spells on Donald Trump. And they were like all putting his, writing down his name and putting it in, like writing it on paper and putting it in jars in the freezer, and it was like the best.
Freeze them out.
Yeah, like freezing water and putting it in the freezer, and I was like, that is the best, because they were just trying to like hold him in place, and I thought that was like the best thing.
Well, I'm not saying we did do that, but I'm not saying we didn't do that.
I love it. I love anything that would just like immobilize, but I love like witches all together doing something to just like stop it.
You know, honestly, like we were keeping, Leah and I have been working on this for a while now on, well, I feel like we should just say it because it will bring power to it. We've been hexing him.
Oh, good, good.
Daily.
Yeah, good.
And good. The secret's out of the bag.
Yeah, good.
Because other witches are too, so it's like, we might as well tell our truth.
Well, yeah. And it felt like, okay, are we gonna open this can of like this darker side of magic? And then we were like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Because he's hurt a lot of fucking people. He's
hurt a lot of women and a lot of people.
It's not really a darker side, though, because if he's a dark force.
Yeah. It's using dark on dark.
Then it's like a light, then it's actually a light. So it's actually you're doing, I mean, it is more like you're absorbing a dark force.
That's a good
so
way to put it.
I think that it's actually the opposite.
Because as long as we have your approval, it's all good. And we're not going to do anything. Like, we're not going to kill him, but like we can hope that something bad happens.
It's more
to him.
Like neutralizing the negativity that he's releasing. So it's like if he's releasing like this poison, then it's a more of a neutralizing activity, which I think is very life-giving. It's actually productive. Mm. Mm-hmm. So
thank you.
It's a different approach. Which I think that's really vital. I feel like, I think Melania is neutralizing him.
Do you think?
I would hope so.
Damn, if this is what he's like when he's already been partly neutralized.
I hope so. Like, that's what I'm just like, I want that. Like, I wish that there was some force around him that's like neutralizing him, because it's like, It's just too toxic and disgusting. Like, there's got to be something that's like coming in his way, so like it's just blocking it. Like, I want there to be something blocking it.
We've actually both done, intentionally and unintentionally, done sex magic about like both envisioning a brighter future I have seen, like as soon as I'm coming, and something bad happening to all the dark negative energy in the White House.
Oh, good,
and
good.
It's really cool.
That's good. That's good. That's good. That's really good.
I feel like I need a medal of honor for this sex magic I did, because I used such a good orgasm on this. It was it was like after a time where I hadn't orgasmed in a while, so it was like a bigger one, like all that potential energy.
Yes.
And it was one where it's like there's anger behind it too, so I'm just getting all this release when I come, and I'm actually like screaming, and I something like clicked when I was coming, and I just envisioned a bright light like a laser beam going at Trump. So the fact that I allowed the visual, I had the visual of his face, you guys, while I was coming. And I was like, I can die a hero.
That's really amazing. I mean, it's like really like, that's like Warcraft. You know, it's like a video game.
Yes.
That's like really
important.
Maybe
we need to get more witches to do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what other power can we use? Because the energy of an orgasm, I really believe, is very powerful.
Yeah, I do too, yeah.
Yeah, it's just so much potential energy getting turned into like this full body experience. And I think it's so good to use sex magic for manifesting and channeling that energy.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think it's really, and directing it into something. Mm-hmm. And then I think that's really productive. But that's a really good, I think it's a really good thing to do, like just to direct it into something that's productive and empowering and joyous.
It feels good for the good. Yeah,
for the good. And I mean, people use magic in all different ways. Did you ever hear about Paulo Mayombe, the magic that's like, I guess I don't know exactly like how it's used, but they how it's used like for real, but it's that sort of like apocryphally, or they use it in like movies. I watched a movie, it's called Borderlands, and it's about somewhat on a true story, but it's about these cults that were like in like the border of Mexico that would use, like, they were really emboldened by this form of Santeria. And so they would use like human sacrifices. And so they would like be protected by these like, I guess, orishas for Santeria. So they would like their drugs across the border, like their big smuggling, like things would go well. So they were like, be protected by all of these orishas. And there's quite like a history of this, like using sort of like Santeria and like Palo Mayombe is a kind of religion that sort of like is about like protecting drug smugglers. And but it's a sort of a different form of I guess it's like witchcraft, but it's also like Santeria, Yoruban religion. It's like another form of I guess voodoo. That the sort of I'm not exactly the sure of the terminology of it, but it's like all these different things of like different versions of African
of
religions, yeah, love like sort of like love religions, African religions, these like different things that are brought over from to like the Caribbean from Africa from like many years ago from like all of these different versions of it. So I was like super into it, but that's like to me like that's a super interesting kind of like energy to like harness all of those like religions that are like very into harnessing. It's like all about sex energy and like blood magic and all about power and getting money and political power and all about power on earth.
Love it. This reminds me, what was the movie called? The Lilith movie?
Oh, Pure.
Pure
on Hulu. So good. It's kind of similar.
Oh, okay.
It's I think it's like Blumhouse. It's like, you know, more commercial type horror.
Yeah.
But it's about Lilith. Do you know about Lilith?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay, cool. We had just learned about her and how I think the story goes. She was originally in the Garden of Eden, but chose to leave because she was like, fuck this.
Yes, yes.
This man telling me what to do. And
no
you guys
thanks.
Are all, you fucking put me here like to take it, to sit here and take it. I'm not going to take it.
Yes.
Seriously. And she left. Like, I love Lilith.
I love Lilith. I love Lilith. I love those characters in the Bible that are like not in the Bible. Like Lucifer. Yes. Like Lucifer is like, was like the favorite angel. Like, why are there no stories about when he was the favorite? Like, why is that not in the Bible? Like, the Bible is such bullshit. Like, the Bible is like, just a bunch of like old, like broken blog links. Like it's a bunch of like things that are written and like put together that are like not like links that don't work anymore. It's like some shitty old Tumblr that is put together by a bunch of like people that are dead that don't.
White dudes. Yeah.
Yeah. White dudes that are not around or like people that are not here to confirm it, not here to deny
it. It was not proofread.
No.
Reboot that shit.
I know.
Rewrite.
It's just
something.
Well, you know, me and Leah, our names, Rachel and Leah, were sisters in the Bible who got fucking pimped out by, I think his name was Jacob, because one or the other of them couldn't get pregnant. So it's like the sister wives, like he just impregnated the sister. And it's like that shit's in there, but you're gonna say that like Satan is a hedonist and a demon. Like he came from the same thing, according to your story.
He's the cool guy.
Yeah,
he is the cool guy. And Lilith is the cool chick.
She's the super cool chick. I love Lilith.
Yeah, I love Lilith.
I love Lilith, and I hate that like the lady Lot's wife who turns around to look at the people having anal sex gets turned into salt. Like
I don't know that.
Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed because everybody's having anal sex. Lot's wife, you know, they leave. They get the heads up. They have to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. So she turns around to look to see all the people anal sex before she wants to look at the anal sex. And so she turns around and he's like, don't turn around. And she just turns around to look at the anal sex and she gets turned into salt and she's just a pile of salt. And then he has to leave the pile of salt. And then I'm like, why?
Oh, my God.
Why is she a pile of salt? Because she had to look at the anal sex. Because don't look at the anal sex.
Yeah.
And poor Sodom. Why do you have to be named after, like, sodomy?
No, sodomy comes from that story in the Bible.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It sucks to be, like, she's forever immortalized as, like, anal sex.
Well, salty bitch. Like, no, she was actually an empowered bitch for turning around and looking and wanting to have knowledge, which is power.
Yeah.
And then, oh, look, she turns into salt and the man leaves.
Yeah. Mm. You want to know like, what anal sex is like. I mean, anal sex is great. If you, I mean,
anal sex is if it.
It depends.
If it fits.
It depends. Girl, you it have fits. To be. You have to be ready for it, but it does.
You
it
have
does,
to be prepared.
It does. It's good later in life.
But it is good. It is good. I agree. And I learned that we have another pleasure center there, the A spot. I didn't know there's a G spot. And then there's an A spot in like the back of, this is, I'm at least speaking for women, in the back of the uterus, or maybe it's on the other side of the lining, but there's another centralization of nerve endings back in there. And it's like,
I felt it.
That's why I feel so good.
Yeah.
More people need to know that. Like,
there's other areas. There's other areas that you can hit.
You know what's fucked up? Why don't we learn where our pleasure centers are? Mm-hmm. Why are we only taught what to be afraid of? I grew up in abstinence only classes. Mm. I didn't learn how to use a condom. Like, and I had religious parents. Like, it's a miracle that I figured it out.
Was there a lot of pregnancy in your school?
Typical, like, there's
Yeah.
And there was a lot of Plan B being used, and that's a fucking dose of hormones on a young girl, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I had to use it after my first time ever, because I didn't know.
You didn't know, That's terrible. Uh-huh. I mean, it's like, why are they so restrictive, and it's so punishing?
And you know who it hurts the most? Women. Mm-hmm. Like, it just all comes from that fucking Bible that our president was holding up in a fucking... It's just...
And that he's never touched before. You could tell he's never, ever... He's never touched a book.
He's never read.
I'm actually kind of glad about that, though, because people like my parents who are religious, that actually worked to turn them off. They already didn't like him, but I think that could... That could help turn off religious people, potentially.
Yeah, because he just was so weird and, like,
grandstanding.
Grandstanding.
Which is a word I just learned.
Very grandstanding. And that is actually a biblical thing, because it is, like, the role of the Pharisee, which is to, like, say that, like, look at me, I'm praying. Look at me, I'm holding up the Bible. And then somebody who's very religious will look at that and go, oh, well, see, that's what Jesus said. Don't do that. The Bible says don't do
that. Yes.
Yes, so it's like the true, like my parents who are hardcore, it'll actually work for them.
Yeah, they would see that and be like, oh, okay, it's true.
I'm proud of them.
It's the one thing that he did that he shouldn't have done. He shouldn't have.
Yeah.
The one wrong thing he did right.
Finally. Yeah. Well, I hope what do you think that we can do as women, as witches, as conscious beings, to make things good that we can do to help the world now?
I think being honest with ourselves and each other, and holding each other accountable, and not letting this momentum stop, and dealing with our own like shadow work. So much of spirituality, it's not all love and light. It's like a lot of dark, heavy shit, and dealing with that and acknowledging that and accepting that is like huge.
Yeah.
Yes. And what I want to instill in more people, especially those of us that have already been oppressed, women, people of color, people on the spectrum of sexuality, is that we don't need to give in to fear. I want to make witches remember how powerful we are, to be brave enough to have the difficult conversations and to speak out, and think about where witch even comes from, the witch hunts, the way that we were oppressed, witches were oppressed. So we need to stand up for people who are oppressed now. So just to fuck fear.
Yes.
And be brave.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, thank you both so much. I'm so glad I got to talk to you and see you again. I hope that we get to see each other soon. And I would love to do your show. Please tell our listeners where they can find you, find your podcast and your shows, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
So you can follow me at Leah Knauer on Instagram.
And I'm at Rachel LaForest. And we are at Basic Witches. Mm-hmm.
And I want to plug, I have a manifestation course that I just released. I tweeted at Kevin Smith for 278 days to get into his movie, and it worked. And I developed a course about it. So yeah, I would love to have people sign up. And 10% of proceeds are going to the Loveland Foundation, which provides mental health services to Black girls and young women.
That's wonderful.
Hell yeah. Yeah. So you can find our podcast anywhere you find podcasts. It's called Basic Witches. And join us for Blazing with Basic Witches on our Instagram.
And Margaret will be on soon. It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep.
I think I'm coming apart. The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I don't know where to start. Coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark. Yeah, coming out of the dark. Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.